in high definition, or standard definition if you like, delivered on iTunes Podcast, or on another podcast app called Podomatic. You're listening to Jamie Way, Matt Olson, and Adam Drummond on The 5 o'clock Wave.
Adam got really upset with us after last week because we
did he though?
Teased him about his opener. We love you, Adam. We think you are one of the great God's great humans, and we're always doing it in jest.
Yeah.
So this time around, we're actually going to do something quite somber. We're going to start the show with a prayer, and
but I know I love you.
Adam, come back to us, please. Come back to us, please. Adam, come back. Come back, Adam. Please come back. Come back to us. We love you. We
miss you. Come back to me, baby.
We miss your touch, Adam. We miss the warmth of your naked body against us.
I miss your rock hard
abdominals. We want you to be inside of us again, Adam. Please, Adam, come. Just come. Back.
I miss the snow Please. Warmth of your rectum.
What? No.
Too far?
Down, boy.
Too far?
Welcome to the 5 o'clock wave.
I got a bit of Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget going on then, wasn't it?
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
That was very good.
By the way, what was the TV show you were trying to, last week you were trying to give me a clue on?
Da, 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 da,
yeah, what
da,
was that? Da,
that was the Beyond 2000 theme.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't. First of all, can't believe you remembered that.
Mm.
Second of all, can't believe I didn't get the reference. Not.
I know, right?
And it was, you know.
I thought you were all over I was only really Amanda Keller's
early work. I was only really a fan of it when it was towards 2000.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
Because I'm old school.
I remember that show.
I kind of went off it. When they went to Beyond 2000, I just totally tuned out.
I never saw it.
Wasn't the other way around? It was originally Beyond 2000, and then it was towards 2000 after that?
Oh, I can't remember.
Why would it be that?
I remember it being Beyond 2000.
Why would it be Beyond 2000 prior to 2000, and then towards 2000 after 2000? Incorrect, sir.
What?
Ba-bow. Towards 2000, they're going towards it.
Yeah.
Heading towards 2000.
So when was it towards 2000?
Before 2000!
Yeah, no, it was Beyond 2000 before 2000.
Yeah, I remember
changed. Yeah, it's
they
strange.
They didn't change it at the millennium. They changed it prior to the millennium.
I don't
because
think
they
it was
realized,
on the millennium, was it?
No, they realized that they were now talking
the
about
the phrase Beyond 2000
things.
Had a very limited shelf life in the years leading up to what?
No, towards 2000 was working for them in the 80s because it was a distant 2000 was a distant thing.
Mm.
Then when they got close to 2000, they started talking about stuff that they knew was going to be beyond the year 2000, so right. They changed the name.
Mm. Are you sure?
Yeah, look it up.
I've seen a few episodes on YouTube.
If I'm incorrect, I will run down Baylor Street, stark bollock naked.
Well.
Wow.
That's all right? That's interesting.
And as you know, I have a newfound
love of getting
love
nude.
Love of getting, yeah, getting my
well, you're in good
and
shape.
Pants
you,
off.
You know, you've lost a lot of weight. You've
so
been working out. You've been running.
I am now looking up. This could be a great moment.
Disastrous
in,
for you.
This could be a great moment in Australian podcast history.
Because I very distinctly remember watching it in sort of the mid 80s. I'm talking 84 or 5.
No, this could be a great. I'm on Wikipedia as we speak. We're loading up. Oh, thank God. So, so the show started out. In the year 1981.
Wow, yeah.
Okay. And it ran until 1984.
Is that all?
So a lot shorter than I thought, as towards 2000.
Right.
It then, in 1985,
yep.
changed its name to Beyond 2000 until 95. It then did one more year in 99.
Yep.
And then for a brief period, it became Beyond Tomorrow.
Ah. Beyond Tomorrow, that was it.
Oh, God, thank Christ for that. I'll tell you what.
I don't remember towards 2000 at all.
Yeah, same.
Well, that's because
I
it was 1984,
beyond.
Dude. You were...
6?
Yeah, you were too young. Yeah. Whereas it was in my wheelhouse.
I used to
time.
Watch that shit when I was 6.
Same. I was, yeah, because in 84, I was 10. So it was like
you old
guaranteed
fart.
Viewing for me.
You old fart.
That's why I was confident enough to bet my tiny shriveled up little wiener on it. Anyway, let's continue.
Although if you had to do a nudie run down the whole length of Wagga's Main Street, this would be the season to do it. It's nice and warm.
Yeah.
You know, the humidity would loosen the skin up a bit. You'd get a bit of lateral flapping action going on.
Local news outlets would be they'd be all over it.
Oh yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd need their telephoto lenses. Oh, but apart from that,
that's a zoom for everyone else, isn't it?
Well, if it's the newspaper, it's telephoto.
Telephoto.
Right?
Telephoto.
Let's not be video centric here. All right.
That's from is that from the Greek or Latin? Tele meaning long way away.
Long. Away, yeah. And tele photo. Means far.
I think it's Greek.
And photo is
it's is about the Vietnamese noodles.
I don't know. Well, so we've got special guest John Riddell back with us in the studio.
Thanks.
What
for
up?
He loved his experience last week so much that he decided to stick around. He's actually been here. We've used this gag many times, but he's actually been in the studio. We left. We locked up. We left. We walked out. Came back a week later. There was a strange smell of sex here though, which is always unusual because you've been here on your own.
There's a bit of a nasty funk, and I apologize.
And yet, I've noticed none of the vermin are around at the moment, which is so. I'm not sure if those two things are connected.
Tastes good.
Anyway, welcome back, John.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back.
And you're on a bit of a high, obviously, since last week when you made the triumphant
victory in History Cane or Bullshit
by purely guessing.
So maybe you know. Let's just jump straight into the second round of History Cane or Bullshit because it's pretty much all we seem to have now.
Critically
in this
acclaimed
show.
But I'm
ready to take you down now. Okay, I've spent all week studying up on my cane.
Yep.
And history.
and bullshit.
I've just been in this room.
There was no need for me to study the bullshit. I put the bullshit to the side. I figured I've got that covered.
Yep. Oh yeah, you do.
I focused on a little bit of history, a massive amounts of Michael Caine.
Michael,
you know, the tale goes that, and I don't know whether this is true or not. I read it or heard it somewhere that Michael was slang for Peruvian nose candy in the '80s in Hollywood.
Slang for
cocaine, because you know you would turn up at a party and say, "Where's Michael Caine?"
Clever,
Michael Caine.
Very well
Michael
done,
Michael Caine.
I tell you what, those Hollywood
Michael
actors,
Caine.
They are a laugh a minute. Bunch.
Oh, they are. So clever.
Right, let's get into it.
So, history cane or bullshit.
We've got to do the jingle. Ask not what you can do for your country.
That's one small step for man, one
beep
giant leap for man.
You're on this past the bloody doors off.
Righto. So, that's the jingle. Let's get into the game.
It was better than
round
last
one.
Good.
Ding ding ding.
Am I such a massive nerd that I actually worried that I put the beep in the right place in Neil Armstrong's quote?
And it was
there's a beep in there.
But I'm pretty sure you were correct. No, you were way off. In
it's
fact,
one small step for man.
Pretty beep. Sure you were way off.
One giant leap.
Beep
for man. And then there's breath noise. Man can't. Anyway,
I thought he may have been swearing for a second. he might have just like cut him.
That's
out.
Right. Yeah.
One
that.
Small step
Imagine
for
Neil
man.
Armstrong.
Shit.
Neil Armstrong slips off the thing. Oh fuck! Oh Jesus
that
Christ!
That happens in
oh,
the start.
Christ.
Have you seen that movie Iron Sky about the Nazis on the moon?
Yeah,
that happens at the start of that. The guy gets
slips
he's,
off. The
he's
thing
he's walking down
do
the
it.
Lander down the ladder on the lander, and he says, "That's one small step for man, one boom, giant." Boom, boom. Oh shit!
There's another good one. My favorite comedian Eddie Izzard has a bit about that.
Yeah,
where he's like pretending to be Neil Armstrong walking down like the ladder, about to go, "Okay, one small step for mankind.
Yeah.
One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind. One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind." Okay, Neil, don't get it wrong. He lands on the moon. I'm a small man with. Oh shit!
I am pretty sure that's exactly what happened.
Eddie Izzard is so
Neil
funny.
Armstrong would have gone funny over man. It and over it and over it, and then when he finally had to do it, fucked it right up.
Yeah.
If you can, look up Eddie Izzard's bit on the Death Star canteen.
Oh, I love it.
Somebody set it to Lego.
Yeah.
And it's one of the funniest things.
But the original bit that he does, it's gold. You don't need that animation to go with it.
It's basically Darth Vader in line at the cafeteria at the Death Star.
It's too good.
So funny. Anyway,
here we
History Kane or Bullshit, December 18. Now, for the listeners who don't know the rules of this game, I'll give them very quickly. I will give a one-sentence synopsis. You have to, you, Matt, or you, John, have to decide whether the synopsis is from this day in history, whether it's the plot of a Michael Caine film, or whether it is bullshit and I made it up. Question one, or synopsis one. A wartime collaboration between Allied forces sees the destruction of a key Japanese radio outpost on a Philippine island. History, Caine, or bullshit?
I might just, right off the bat, I'm going to go with Caine on this one. I'm not sure what it is. I've got a feeling I can see a poster of that, but it could be Bridge Over River Kwai, which
he did
has
a lot
nothing
of war
to do with
he
Michael
did a lot
Caine.
Of war lot
anyway,
of
I'm going to go with Caine, just right
John?
Off the bat.
So am I. I think it's Caine.
You are both correct. That is the plot of the film Too Late the Hero from 1970.
Awesome. We're off to a good start, although, yes, one all.
Sorry to piggyback there, but I'm pretty sure it was a Caine film.
No, you knew.
Smashed it.
Yep.
That's the great thing about this, the history Caine of bullshit too, is that there's so much overlap between history and Caine.
Exactly.
He does so many war movies.
Perfect.
He has his own history, really.
Yeah, exactly.
He does.
Caine history. Number two, a frustrated retiree transforms his neighborhood with a radical program of social activism. History, Caine, or bullshit?
I reckon that's just far out enough for me to say history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although I'm going to say Caine.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just going to
You
go
are
with
correct.
Caine.
It is the plot of the 2009 film Harry Brown.
Ah, right.
There you go.
Well done.
I had no idea what the film was. I just had a feeling in my waters. And I've decided, since I am 4-0 down in this game, and that's a terrible deficit. I'm just going to have to go with my gut from now on.
Yeah.
So 2-1. I am in the lead, boy.
This round.
I've never been in the lead before, so I'm going to celebrate it, all right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Adam.
Let's do it.
Yeah, sorry, Ad. Number three, an elderly former porn star's life is hilariously turned upside down when he is recognized by a young fan and thrust back into the spotlight.
Wow. Are you going for, like, all Caine movies with this one? I feel like you're going, yeah. I'm going with Caine again. I don't know why, but I'm going with Caine again.
I'm going to go for bullshit.
John is correct. That is bullshit, and I made it up.
Damn it! All right, well done, John.
Thanks, mate.
Props to you. Two all. Here we go again.
Question number four.
No, wait. What's the score?
Two all.
Is it two all?
I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it is. Two all.
Yeah, it is. Number four. International investigators track an expert team of technicians funneling money from large corporations into the hands of the less fortunate.
Wow.
Hmm.
Is that one of those, like, sounds familiar again. That sounds very movie plot-esque, but...
That's the way I write them.
But I'm going to go history.
Mm. John?
I'm going to go Caine.
John again is correct.
Oh,
that is the plot
no!
of the film Now You See Me, 2013, about a group of stage magicians who steal money from banks and large corporations and give it away to their audience.
Like, that movie was made last year. How come I haven't heard of that movie? Like,
he must got Jesse Eisenberg, and I think that was he was really the only person of
Morgan
note,
Freeman's
wasn't
in it, isn't he?
Morgan Freeman.
There's other people in that.
Yeah, there are other human beings
Mark
in it.
Mark Ruffalo's in it. He's one of the investigators.
The Hulk.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the...
the Hulk's in it.
He's the FBI dude.
Okay. Well, what's that? 3-2. So I need to get either... Well, okay, anyway. I could perhaps steal a draw here.
You could. Number five. A government official is present at a Nevada nuclear test that goes horribly wrong, possibly endangering countless lives. History, Caine, or bullshit?
Well, I have to go for the steal. So I'm going to go with turn your phone off when you're doing a podcast. I have to go with Kane, and I have to say the film is the man who was at a nuclear blast and nearly died.
I'm just going to, so Matt can go for like a steal, I'm going to say bullshit.
Neither of you are correct. That is history.
It's history.
On this day in 1970, there was a malfunction of the nuclear test at Bainbury, at the Bainbury shot of Operation Emery at Area 9 in Nevada. And the whole place had to be evacuated and they accidentally sent some radiation high into the atmosphere.
Oh.
It was quoted by Time magazine in 2009 or 10, I think, as one of the worst nuclear disasters in history.
That's no good.
There you go. So, Adam, you are now leading via your very clever, highly skilled proxy.
Oh, yeah.
5-0.
Smashed it.
5-0. We could almost call that a set.
Does that mean?
Then that way it gets back to 1-0.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Set?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see what you mean,
anyway,
yeah.
All right. Now,
does that mean we're bringing tennis scoring into this?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have to get to like deuces totally and loves and stuff like that.
So,
because I've been sitting here all week, I was just channeling Adam.
You were.
Actually.
Oh, yeah. Very well.
Thank you.
I want to bring up something. Since we're on the film theme and we've got John in, who's a filmmaker, I thought I want to bring up something that I thought you guys could maybe comment on. John does, because we've talked about this before, and you probably are aware of this. I have...
Yeah.
Some serious problems when it comes to remakes.
Mm,
I always have, always will. There are very few remakes in history that I will even watch or in the very least acknowledge as being, you know, good filmmaking.
They're
or valid
usually
filmmaking.
Terrible.
Okay.
Usually, yes.
And, like, Citation, RoboCop.
Yeah. So there are I've got big issues with remaking films. But there are the odd situation that comes up which warms my heart. Mm. One was recently where the writer of The Last Starfighter, the screenwriter of The Last Starfighter, again has continued to hold out on selling the rights for remake.
Wow.
Well, I'd read that a few years ago, Seth Rogen and Adam, his writing partner, is it Adam Goldberg or...? Whatever
Evan
Goldberg approached him, and they wanted to, and they're not short of a dollar.
Mm.
They basically have whole studios backing them,
rolling in that sweet,
and
sweet.
And so they
Green
just
Hornet
said,
money.
"Yeah, well, yeah." they basically said, "I think Superbad made more money than Green Hornet." And they were turned down. And just recently, and this I love this, Steven Spielberg personally visited this dude, sat down with him, and outlined what he thought would be a vision for a remake of Last Starfighter, and the guy said, "Sorry, Steven, but it's a no.
We made it right the first time.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no
and
need
I love
to
that.
It.
Anyway, so that's
and they did. I
they
thought.
Did. Yeah. So, but what's happening now? And this is what I want to get your comments on. What's happening now is, and I see this as probably going to be, and this is a bit of a prediction of mine, but I think we are going to now see the remake thing slow down a bit. The remake trend slow down a bit, and what's going to replace it is going to be a trend in mashups or crossovers, taking two established properties, bringing them together.
Yeah,
which is not an old idea, not a new idea.
Mm.
It's a very old idea in Hollywood. They've been doing it for, you know, 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
The old Universal movies would often cross over and do different things.
Mm.
But I've read just today, and I hope, I pray this is a hoax. I pray this is just someone taking the P-I-S-S.
Piss.
But, thank you. But, these kinds of things generally...
What is it? Spit it out. What is it?
There is a proposal on the table somewhere for a crossover movie between 21 Jump Street, the new one, and Men in Black.
How's that going to work?
Boo.
I have no idea. This is where... This is what disturbs me, is that we're now going to places that don't even start from a logical point.
See,
they start from
when
a
you were talking about doing the remake movie thing, I was going to bring up 21 and 22 Jump Street as a really as an example of a really good way to do it, because they were so meta, like they and they put it all out front. They went all the way around, sort of ridiculous parody.
Well, technically, 21 Jump Street and 22 subsequently are not remakes.
No, they are. It's using that same property.
Yeah. They're adaptations from another medium, and I've got no problem with that.
Mm.
We have to have that. We can't always be constantly relying on completely new fiction with which to tell film stories with.
Well, the old adage is that there are new stories.
We have
there are still wonderful
pieces of literature and stories from other, that have been told in other mediums that are yet to find their space in the film medium. And so 21 Jump Street and so on. Men in Black is another example. Men in Black was a graphic
comic
novel.
Yeah.
So, but this new trend of, I don't know what you guys think of that. This new now it might be something that kind of goes, bleh, it might not happen, but
because
I find
the
that
tone
disturbing.
Of the two things just isn't compatible. It'd be a different story if it was, say, I don't know, 21 Jump Street and like that MTV version of Josie and the Pussycats they did a few years ago, or whatever, stuff like that. Because it's so
we said we weren't going to. Say those. We weren't going to talk about that.
Josie and the Pussycats.
On this podcast.
Why did it come to my mind?
The remake of it, anyway.
Yeah.
I love Josie and the Pussycats. The cartoon.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, the film was a parody of remake movies. The same way that 21 and 22 Jump Street were a parody and a satire of remake and dumb action movies. Like, they, and they put it all out front. Like, the whole 22 Jump Street was fantastic. Like, I actually love that movie because it's just balls to the wall. Like, yep, we're just cashing in and you suckers are going to pay for it. Yep. And here it is. And we're putting it right up front.
Yeah, like, and constantly winking.
I love the idea that they just got the balls to put it right out there up front and go, yep, this is a total cash in.
Let's assume that this idea is real. It's a genuine proposal on the table. Why do you think studios are going in this way? I mean, is it just purely desperation? Is it because they're like literally
picture
out?
The poster for Men in Black and 21 Jump Street crossover. You've got Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith on the one poster. That's easily like $100 million in the box office first weekend straight away.
You can, I guess I'm not in any way, I don't know how to think like a movie producer, but you know, these are things, as you say, you know, you love 21 Jump Street and a lot of people like Men in Black as well. So, you know, they're essentially thinking they can give the people what they want rather than remaking something. It's actually taking it off into a new direction.
Sure.
Because, in a loose way, like, I don't know if 21 Jump Street and Men in Black, if a crossover of that would actually work.
I don't think it would.
I'm not sure it would, but you know, there's room for that. If it was a mashup that would potentially take us to a really amazing place or do a really good story, then yeah. But you know, a lot of people are saying, don't wreck what's happened. But you know, we're in a state now where it's just happening anyway. You know?
Everything is a mashup of something else anyway.
Exactly.
I think it's a response to the success of the sort of series of Marvel crossovers that led to the Avengers. Like,
I think
when Tony Stark pops up at the end of the Edward Norton Hulk movie, or, you know, when, you know, Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson pops up at the end of Thor, or sort of crossover stuff that's happening between that.
When they put Sammy Jackson in and
at the end of Iron Man.
Things, yeah.
Yeah.
And Marvel have been doing that and DC have been doing that in that comic format
for decades.
Since day one,
comic books have been doing crossovers since the 40s.
Mm.
But you'd think, and maybe I'm being ultra cynical here, but you'd think that Hollywood would have learnt its lesson after quite frankly, and how can I say this without being too blunt?
Shithouse.
Hang
on, what is it?
Cataclysmic fuck up that was Alien versus Predator.
I was going to say Alien versus Predator.
Taking, quite frankly, my two all-time favorite stories in science fiction and combining them together in a way that not only made it so I couldn't watch it without weeping.
He's saying that it cheapened both properties.
But no, thankfully, they were both so robust and strong and so beautifully made to begin with. Even Predator 2 is a bitchin' movie.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's
got Paxton in it,
and exactly. You know, it's got, well, it's got Paxton, Ruben Blades, and Danny Glover.
Yeah,
and then it's got just before the total and utter meltdown. What's his name? Who plays the sort of not
Gary
so much,
Busey?
Gary Busey, right? It's yeah. perfect. It's a perfect movie. But I'm getting off the track. They were robust enough as yeah. properties and as stories that they can survive. They were able to survive it.
Mm.
Mm.
But the three AVP films, well, it might have been four. There's definitely three.
I've seen two. I've seen the first one that's three. Down in the Antarctic.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one, and that
which,
was
which, one. Which two happens in like a small town in Nebraska or yeah. something? Doesn't it? Alien vs. Predator Requiem, it's called.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's only two.
And I think they even tried to reintroduce the Weyland character in the first Alien vs. Yeah, Predator, yeah. which
it was
not.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen tried to do it. But they only survived because they were so robust I don't put Men in Black and 21 Jump Street in the same
universe. You know, they're not in the same, like the reason why the Marvel movies work,
well, they work
when they all
the
cross
universe.
Over
yeah.
because they're in the Marvel yeah. universe.
And it was only Predator 2 that so this is where
it was
this
from
is where
the
it
set
gets really meta
thing,
because
yeah.
Predator 2 allowed that little
allowed
I don't know
the
who directed
cross
Predator
over,
2,
yeah.
but they're the ones that are responsible. They're the ones
well,
that if
it's
I ever
the
met
set
them,
dressing department.
I would
they,
smash them.
They dress the set of the interior of the Predator.
They put an
ship.
Alien skull.
Yeah.
And it's all Fox, so it's all kosher. They put an alien skull in the Predator's
Yeah, in the trophy
ship,
cabinet.
In the trophy cabinet, which makes perfect sense when it's kept to that.
Yeah.
When it's
it was just a little nod. It was like,
there.
Huh.
It's yeah. like, mm. no, okay, fine. Take that little tiny step and now stop. And
well,
no, they had to go further. They had to do the video game actually was the first thing that happened. They made a game.
Yeah, where you could play as the Predator or an
or
alien
or
a
marine.
Yeah.
marine. And then
yeah.
they,
that was a great game.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
It's an interesting point that you make with the, because now movies are going that distance, you know, yeah. they are crossing those boundaries that were left unexplained. Like, say, take for example, Prometheus.
Yeah.
When you see, you know,
yes, please take it.
For yeah, exactly. You know, you see the first please. Alien, and you're thinking, why is the ship there? What's the space jockey doing?
Yeah.
And some of that stuff is better left just unexplained. But they're just like, let's make a movie about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that exploring universes that were already created, and whether or not, you know, it's a universe. Of Men in Black and 21 Jump Street, I'm not sure.
It just doesn't. When you say it out loud,
there's not enough under the surface
sense.
To mine.
So my final question to you is, as we sort of get to the end of this episode, is if a gun was produced and it was held to the head, a bullet was loaded,
yep.
the hammer was cocked. I know I'm dragging this out a bit for dramatic
you
effect, and you're forced to come up with two properties that. Could mash quite nicely together. What are they?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the X-Men.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
And why? Why? Why?
They're both mutants. It's a natural...
Okay. So there's a mutation
They're
theme.
Both in comic books, so anything can happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
I was pretty happy with that, straight off the top of the head.
Yeah. I'm still struggling to think of one. What can we do?
Well, I mean, there's an obvious one for me.
What?
Flintstones and Jetsons.
I've said this before on the podcast that the Flintstones is what's happening down on the ground
Correct.
While the Jetsons are up in the air, and they're happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's actually a dystopian.
And so, bam,
future.
There you go. If you can find that, maybe there's evidence there, and this could undo my whole argument, but maybe that's evidence, right, that if you can unlock that key logical link, then you can mash any two things together.
You know what I'd like to see them do? And it's not a mash-up thing, but an intellectual property that I would like to see them make more of is the Fallout universe.
Yeah.
You know the Fallout video games?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a post-apocalyptic thing, which has all been done, but the style of it is all retro-futuristic, like everything.
Yeah.
It's sort of got this weird
well,
kind
the
of
suggestion
50s
that
vibe
the,
to it.
Yes, there's the suggestion that the fall occurred Yeah, around the around that real yeah. that when it probably, let's face it, yeah. was at its most likely to occur, which yeah, was so the late 50s.
It happened at the peak of the Cold War sort of thing. So all the cars Correct. Are powered by tiny nuclear reactors, but they're all those huge, big yep. Thunderbird type
and
things.
So I've got, and so I've got a property that's another gaming property that would slot right into that.
What?
And that's BioShock.
Yeah. Well, that's an extension of the same theme. Like
Correct.
BioShock is set in the 60s, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
And the yeah. guy was supposed to have established Rapture in the late 40s, early 50s or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, it fits with the same time period. You've got, like, these amazing sort of genetic manipulation technologies, but you're listening to music off gramophones.
yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I would love to see a decent film made out of Fallout or BioShock or both.
Mm.
They're not incompatible.
No doubt they're on someone's drawing board.
Yeah, but somewhere. They'd be terrible.
Like, of course, because they'll be cheap.
The closest thing I've seen to a Fallout film
underfunded.
Was, did you see The Book of Eli?
Yes.
With Denzel Washington?
No,
that's
I didn't
pretty
see
it. Close to a Fallout film.
Yeah, pretty close. There's another film called Hardware that...
Yeah.
With...
really hot... Rona Mitra.
Yeah. And,
that's the Richard Stanley movie.
Yeah,
isn't
it's... Yeah. it's absolutely.
On a hard, no,
no
I'm
hardware. You're thinking of something else. Hardware is
yeah.
It's a late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah,
movie.
They ripped it off. They said it was a Terminator ripoff, and
yeah,
apparently it's not.
No,
like
not at all.
It's got about the sort of war robot.
It's about the
that goes
the,
rogue
after the hardware's about a post-apocalyptic sort of nuclear fallout future.
What's the one
where
I was thinking of with Rona Mitra, where she goes up into Scotland and it's like post-apocalyptic. She's got to rescue somebody. It's a British film from the last few years.
Oh, okay.
It was not Hardware. It's called like Deadfall or something.
Oh,
it's not
okay.
that, but something like that.
Mm.
It's a one-word thing. And she's got to go past, it's almost like Hadrian's Wall. She's got to go up into Scotland and rescue like the president's daughter or something like that. It's basically like an Escape from New York type situation. But but they're like feral roaming gangs of cannibals and stuff. In Scotland, like
cool.
the fallen sort of Glasgow and Edinburgh and stuff like that, and she's got to go up there and rescue somebody and bring them back.
Mm.
It's pretty cool.
That out now.
I had an idea. This is before the Avengers and Captain America came out, because
yeah.
they were wondering about who was going to be Captain America for all this time, who's
yeah.
going to play Captain America in all the movies. And I would have loved to have seen Matthew McConaughey reprise his character as Woodison from Dazed and Confused.
But it's Captain America.
And just put him in a Captain America costume. That would have been brilliant. Like
I'm with
he
you.
Is that dude is Captain
I
America.
I am with you.
I keep getting
from
the
comics,
the
that's totally
age.
Captain America.
Yeah, yep.
This because is I'm dude. Enhanced by a super soldier serum.
Yeah, yeah. He just loves surfing and he loves hanging out. All right, all
right, all right.
He got drafted. He was just a no hope, a stoner.
Shit, that was a great.
And
movie.
He lucked out, and then he got injured. He got injured in his first
yeah.
mission, and then
you'd have to.
They rebuilt him.
It'd
a
be
bit.
In Vietnam rather than Second World War.
Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Because
yeah,
what the Dazed and Confused are set in like 72 or
something. 70
something,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I would have loved to have seen that, but sadly, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, Chris Evans
is
good.
Is there.
I like the Captain America movies. I've never been a fan of the comic character, but the two movies and his role in the Avengers, I'm just like, well, you know, for what it is, it's really good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really, really good.
Have you seen the trailer for Age of Ultron?
No. Oh,
yeah,
I may.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, and while we're talking of trailers. Star Wars trailer.
Oh, yeah. We should quickly talk about that.
There's a new Mad Max Fury Road trailer
out
today,
too. Yeah, what's
that today? Oh.
Fantastic.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's supposed to happen.
Again, it adds a whole other layer to it now.
I think it's...
Very exciting now.
Saying that it's meant to happen between Mad Max and Mad Max 2.
Oh.
But because you can see the Interceptor get destroyed in the trailer. Like, it crashes and...
Yeah, but he had it in Mad
pieces.
Max 2.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I'm
no,
not
I
sure what's...
I think it's...
just a reboot.
I think it's probably 2 and 3...
Between.
Although
yeah, okay.
it gets destroyed in 2. The Interceptor gets trashed in 2. I think, to be honest, George Miller probably said, look, when we're writing this thing, it gives a crap when it is. And I love the idea of Max getting trailed eventually and then eventually getting smashed and being taken prisoner,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
pretty much what happens
yeah.
early on in the piece. And then he gets rescued by Furiosa.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron's character, and
yeah.
then
oh, cool.
and then from that point, as it should be,
it's one big
long chase to the end.
Oh, cool.
That's the word from everyone who's sort of been involved with it. Is that it's crazy shitballs, insane. Like it's basically just the whole movie's
yeah.
a chase.
It's just George's,
and they actually had to go back and reshoot stuff to add extra stuff into the chase. Like that, That's why it took so long to get made, is because it was originally going to be, you know, in the sort of late 90s or early 2000s, I think they were still going to have Mel Gibson in it. And then it, Mel sort of said he wants nothing to do with it. So they were going to make it as like an anime cartoon
thing.
Too old. And then it turned into the Tom Hardy thing, and they shot for ages and ages and ages over in South Africa. And the studios weren't sure about it. And then George Miller said, oh, yeah, we need to do some pickup stuff. And then went back and shot a bunch more crazy action shit.
They're in Namibia.
Namibia, was it?
Yeah. Wow. In the deserts in Namibia.
Oh, I can't
in
wait.
In the Gobi.
Yeah, it looks good. Sahara. It does look. I've only seen the teaser, but it looks good.
The trailer looks amazing.
So, yeah, so just in the last, what was it, like about 6-7 days ago?
A couple of weeks.
The Force Awakens
teaser
trailer was released onto the world, and what were your thoughts?
Nerds everywhere went crazy.
Of course.
Me included.
Yeah. What did you like? What did you respond to most strongly about it? Because it's been analyzed.
I'll tell you what I liked about it,
but
is that it was really confident. Mm. Like the tone of the trailer was really confident. It didn't need to sell you on a whole bunch of sort of flashy bullshit. Like it literally opens with like 10 seconds of a static shot of a desert.
Which,
like, that's balls.
I challenge you, and next year when I do my post-production subject with my students, we are gonna pull the hell out of this thing. We're gonna pull it apart, like, because I'll challenge you to find a piece of movie promotion material, especially of a film on this scale and this significance, that is more is bolder, more courageous, more confident, and more patient than you will see in this.
Mm. And it doesn't show you much.
Well, even the title, The Force Awakens, suggests that they're, you know, they could be very well holding something really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, some Star Wars has
there's
been on
no,
the outer for so many
no
years.
There's no question
now.
That, and you know, we don't need to get confirmation of this. The teaser, you know, was designed from the ground up to give very specific information, a small amount of information that alluded to a fresh start, alluded to being completely and utterly faithful to the story and the characters and the themes and the mood.
But not just that, being faithful to the vitality of the first films as well, because like the one, not to get all sort of art wank on it, but like that one shot of the Millennium Falcon sort of doing that big bank and then dipping towards the sand and then pulling up and the TIE fighters going past, like that, just that one shot tells you this is all the stuff you know from Dad's Star Wars, but it's going to blow your fucking mind. Like it's not going to be this sort of gimmicky kid shit like you saw in Phantom Menace and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like Lucas has got his hands off the wheel now. Like you've got some people in who still care about the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
who aren't doing this thing just to design a shitload of toys.
Mm.
So that one shot tells me that it's in good hands.
Yep.
Because it just says everything right there. It's like,
and what do you think about the decision, the key and clear decision to introduce us to five characters that we've never met before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are the new central characters of this trilogy.
Yeah.
Mm. And they will be. Mm. And more importantly, the decision to completely leave out, in every respect,
the original characters.
Everyone who is connected with the previous trilogy.
That again, to me, like, and I mean, I could be proven totally wrong on this, but that to me, that speaks about the confidence of the filmmakers as well, is that they don't need to show Mark Hamill's face. They don't need to show Harrison Ford's face. They don't need to show Carrie Fisher's face. They show the dude from Attack the Block. They show, I don't know who the girl is on the hover cycle thing. And they've got like a soccer ball robot and the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. And Adam Driver, it's definitely Adam Driver as
that
the Sith
with
guy.
With the broadsword lightsaber.
And Andy Andy Serkis, that's been confirmed. It's Andy Serkis's voice doing the narration. Or narration. He's speaking to someone.
Felt it?
Yeah, the voiceover was the only thing that kind of irked me a little bit about the trailer. But it's still, I mean, that's just me being a petty nerd. It's still very good.
And Oscar Isaac as an X-Wing pilot.
Oh, right.
Okay, so those five They're five. They're the five characters, really. And then, yes, the soccer ball droid, who, which I loved. I loved. Loved.
A lot. Best I can tell, that's a practical effect.
Totally.
Like it didn't look CG.
No, I think the droid head has been added, but the ball, that's a ball rolling along the ground.
Mm. People have already started to call that droid F1 FA, as in FIFA.
Isn't that awesome? I love that. Yeah, nice. Look, you're right. Nice. The voiceover does possibly... It's the only thing that makes me feel uneasy in a sense that is that going to be... Because it is Andy Serkis, and we know what Andy Serkis does. We know his skill set, his mocap, its performance for a CG...
Not necessarily. Creature.
No.
He's been in live action stuff.
But
Leaps.
We know he was employed for that.
Yeah.
Okay, employed by JJ to do that. So that's the only thing. Now, I have an enormous amount of faith that counteracts this, and I'm really putting my geek shoes on here, that counteracts this, the fear that we are going to end up with another, you know, General Grievous or just something that's just a dart of a character that sits in the middle of as the threat.
That,
you know?
Who was that flying dude in Phantom Menace? Watto.
Yeah. Watto? Well, whatever. Well, whoever you can choose a digital character in the first three films, the prequel films. Choose any digital character, except for there was only one fully digital character that I thought really worked, and that was the Yoda from Episode 3. Was wonderful because it was faithful to the original Yoda model.
Mm.
And it was vibrant, and it did what you know. He was given he was allowed to perform. Finally, you know, he was instead of just sitting.
The one thing
on his
that
ass,
bugged me about that was like
the fight was a bit.
Well,
ridiculous.
No. The fight was like I quite like the fighting stuff in three, but they made him look younger than the Yoda in Return of the Jedi. But he looks too much younger because it's only one person's lifetime, and Yoda's meant to be like 900 years old. Mm. So unless he ages dramatically in his last 100 years.
You know, I think we have to be. I mean, you'd be naive to think that you can't have some brand new Star Wars films without creatures, characters that are non-human. I mean, that goes without saying.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you go and take a look at J.J. Abrams' Star Trek films as well, and you'll see it done really well. Like there are non-human
he
characters
loves
in
the
that
practical stuff.
That aren't really obtrusive. Nope. That aren't just like here, look, I'm a fancy effect.
Yeah. Mm. That's right.
Which is completely not the case in the Star Wars prequels.
So, it's whatever happens from here on in is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And we've only just, you know, the wonderful thing is, unlike a lot of other big tentpole movies where you see the trailer and it's kind of, I know everything now, or I've seen all the good stuff.
No, this it's still got us all.
We haven't even seen anything.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of hidden stuff, as in like in that first shot with the rogue stormtrooper. If you listen to the sound effects, you can hear a probe droid.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a probe droid. There's a probe droid just... Well, because they're looking for him.
Yeah.
He's being chased.
Mm.
In fact, they're all being chased. Everyone's being chased.
Right. It's a big chase.
And then
they come down to the desert of Tatooine, and Mad Max is there on his interceptor. And
There's the mashup. Mad Max and Star Wars.
Yeah. Mad Max is actually driving across Fury Road on the planet
Maybe
of Tatooine.
Maybe we should wrap
I'd
it up.
I'd watch that.
Look, thanks.
Just before we go, speaking of trailers, have you seen the Terminator Genesis trailer?
Yes, I have.
I'm curious to see what they're doing there.
It looks cool, and I love.
It looks a bit complicated, but I hope that they.
And you know what?
Do
I really love that they've hired a new actor to play Sarah Connor, not like ultra young Sarah Connor or older Sarah Connor, but the same age Sarah Connor as what
in the
as
first
was
film.
In the first film. Yeah. I love that, and she from the looking at the trailer. She's fantastic, that actress.
Khaleesi, man. It's a mother of dragons.
She's brilliant.
Mm.
She's doing a smashing job.
She's very cool. She's not muscly enough to be Sarah Connor, though. Although,
no, but then she wasn't at that point.
No, she was still a waitress.
But there's a whole other thing going on with Terminator Genesis in terms of gimmick and plot that I think we've yet to kind of uncover. So.
I want to know how they... from what I can gather from the trailer...
she knows everything. When Reese arrives, she knows
plus
everything.
Plus,
so something's happened.
There's an old Terminator there.
Exactly. So, like, whether he's come
back...
There's
an old Arnold as a Terminator.
The T-800,
who must have gotten there in the early 70s or something like that. And he's been with her all the way up to 1984 when the first movie takes place. And by the look of it in the trailer, I don't think I'm spoiling anything when I say it kind of looks like he knows exactly where the 1984
well, ready.
Arnold Terminator is going to spawn, and he's right there and kills it and changes the
whole
timeline.
And then,
of course,
there's a new T-1000.
Yeah, it's Byung-Hun Lee. He's the guy from, is it Infernal Affairs?
Yeah, it's one of those.
One of those huge big Hong Kong stars, but he's awesome.
All right. Well, that's another episode of The 5 o'clock Wave.
Yeah.
Done and
we
dusted.
We nerded out big time.
Movie
Thanks for
edition.
Hanging out with us again, John.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure.
And I'm sure we'll have you back at some point in the future.
Yeah. Adam doesn't nerd out like this. He always keeps it moving on to like
Adam will be back next
week,
I'm no doubt, with some hilarious stories about something hilarious that's
happened. Kids say the darndest things.
And, yeah, that's right.
Or have another interview.
God bless you. We love you, Adam.
Celebrity.
Come back to us now. Come back, Adam. Oh, I'm sick of it. I don't want to lie in the bed alone anymore. I need you. Righto. So it's goodbye from me.
It is goodbye from me. And be cool to one another.
It's goodbye from us.
Take care.
Click like front and back.